Third hour.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Absolute Fred Miller moment for me. False start, Fred. I didn't let the open happen. The true You Just Made the List open. It is time for you to release. It's time for you to feel better about whatever has been angering you all week. Someone or something. Something that's made you mad. It's time for you to tell us who or what has done that. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. This week's winner will receive a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys at Bridgestone Arena. That's on October 1st. That will be Tuesday evening. Tuesday night at Bridgestone Arena, the Black Keys. But you're going to have to bring it. You're going to have to get involved. This is where we ask you to participate on the show by dialing 737-1025. Who or what has angered you? Willie, you have been chomping at the bit, so I'm going to turn things over to you.
On the list this week for me are sports teams that try to have cool uniforms that you can't see the numbers very well. And yes, from an announcer's perspective, I'm a little more sensitive than most, but I got to thinking about this. Why did the Yankees, way back in the day when Babe Ruth and those guys were playing, why were they the first team to have numbers? What was the reason? Why do you put numbers on a uniform?
To identify a player.
Yes. And who would want to identify those players?
Fans?
Yes.
Media members?
Yes.
Pay-by-play guys?
Yes, absolutely.
Color analysts?
Yeah. People need to see the numbers so they can identify the players. Not just the announcers, but the people in the stands. And now we got it. It's college football is the worst, I think. But any sport where you have to see from afar, but the football has the biggest stadiums. You got these real cool uniforms, the colleges. Oh, look at these new uniforms we got. They're so cool. If you can't see the number, you're doing a disservice to your fans and to the announcers especially. So I get it. You want to have the trendy uniforms that you could put on Twitter and the high school kids would be like, yeah, man, look at those uniforms. Oh, that's awesome. Just show me the number. Just make sure you could see the numbers. The other day, too, Carolina, they love
Canes.
Yeah, and on the, front. On the front, okay, put it wherever you want on the front, but give me a number you can see on the back. The font, it was too small. It was too scrunched. 64, 65, 66, 46, 48, very tough to distinguish. So the people that are making the uniforms, the schools that are trying to come up with the trendy look, give me some numbers that I can see. I'll put my alma mater in there, the Vanderbilt uniforms. They were pretty cool. I like the gray. Give me a little outline on the back of the number. So with gray on black, I can see the number better. On TV, in the stands, from the press box. Help us out. Help us out a little bit.
You just made the list.
Give me numbers I can see.
So what really, which one bothered you the most? What set this in motion?
Honestly, the Vanderbilt uniforms, they were not as bad. And Max and I were just talking about this. They've had some uniforms before that are even worse. Really hard to see the numbers. But it's all across the country, really. College football is the worst with that. There's a reason that Tennessee had to put the outline in black on their white jerseys, which I thought was kind of a bummer because I liked the two-color look, which they've gone back to. But those, you know, the white jerseys are kind of hard to see the orange, but there's not a whole lot you could do about that because that's their colors. But when you have a chance, you come up with a trendy uniform with all the action on it, like Maryland, you know, they put the flag on there and there's like 23 different colors. Just keep this in mind. The reason you put numbers on there is so your fans the media, and the people watching the game can identify the players. You should not have to say, who is that with the ball? Who is that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. That hit home.
That
for
is
you.
What. Yes.
I get it. I totally get it. I've got a couple quickly because we've got people lining up. 737-1025. A Max, if you've got one, you can certainly throw it in there into the mix as well. I'm going to start with the Washington Redskins, who have just been a dumpster fire for most of the time since Daniel Snyder has been the owner. I mean, it's just usually when they're in the news, really not much good comes from it. A lot of you saw on Monday night in their dumpster fire game, that was more about the product on the field. It was awful against the Bears. But they do it. They try to do a good thing. And, you know, like most teams, the Titans just honored Eddie George, retired Eddie George's number and Steve McNair's number at their first home game of the year at halftime. They were honoring London Fletcher. He was a really, really good player. By the way, was that for their, like, Ring of Honor? I don't know exactly what they did. But, of course, on their Jumbotrons, they put up London Fletcher's name and his stats and all that good stuff. And they spelt his freaking name wrong. I mean, come on. You have one job, as they say. You have one job. Fletcher is not a difficult name. If Fletcher was from Russia, okay, maybe, I get it. You missed an A, you missed an I, whatever. You missed a K, okay? Fletcher, how do you mess up Fletcher? They did it.
You just made the list.
It just goes in a long line of what the Redskins have been under Daniel Snyder. It's actually laughable and pretty pathetic. But it was just yet again in a long line of just, what are you doing, Juan? What are you doing, Redskins? Like, you can't even put up the guy you're honoring at the game. You can't even spell Fletcher right on the Jumbotron. And the other one is for last night, which we've touched on today. Like, the NFL has got to get this figured out. If you want to implement this rule after this disaster in the NFC Championship game last year, now you want to review pass interference. If you're going to look at it, and you're going to get all the replays, and you're going to be able to slow it down and come up with a decision, you would think all of us at home, if we're on one page and we feel like it should be called one way, you should probably come out and call it that way too. I just don't understand it. I mean, last night's play, was it the first half? So it was second half, right? Early second half, I believe.
Yes.
Matt LaFleur does the right thing. Of course, everybody in Lambeau Field is screaming. You can tell they just played the replay on the Jumbotron. And everybody is going nuts. Rightfully so. That looked like textbook pass interference. And I mean textbook.
Right. Like, I don't know
what pass interference is.
He's clearly
if
beat.
That wasn't pass interference.
Yes. He's beat on the play. He's flailing. He's face guarding. He's just throwing his arms up there. There's no technique. Classic pass interference.
And Matt LaFleur slams the challenge flag down. He's like, we're challenging it. That's pass interference. We all watch it at home and we're like, ha, good challenge, Matt LaFleur. That is going to get called. That's going to get reversed. That's going to be pass interference. And they come out and they say the call on the field stands. What? How?
Even Mike Pereira.
How did you look at Troy Aikman? Everybody said, that is pass interference. Yes. Give me a break.
And then later, there's another challenge that is not as obvious, but when you looked at the replay, you can see exactly what happened. The guy grabbed the arm of Alshon Jeffrey, moved it so he couldn't get two hands on the ball.
Yep.
Subtle. But in the replay, I think that's pass interference.
Again,
but
if you're looking
but they
at
all
it,
kind of, they weren't going to get fooled again. So Mike Pereira and Troy Aikman going, well, if they didn't call, they didn't overturn that one, they're sure as heck not going to overturn this one.
Well, they kept saying, they're setting a precedent.
But this is what's going to be interesting as we put him on the list here, is this is what happens. Mike Pereira, who was the trained eye, right? And now all of a sudden I'm blanking on the CBS guy now who does the college games and the pro games. Anyway, CBS has got their guy.
I don't remember his name. I know
you just retired
about.
2 years ago. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, drawing the blank. But anyway, when they start disagreeing, you know, the discussion starts happening. You know, I think that is clear and obvious. That's when you start having more challenges. That's when you start having more discussion on what should be overturned. It's going to evolve. But this whole attitude of keep a lid on it, don't overturn it unless it's unbelievably blatant. We're at that point. That's not right. It's going to have to work itself out over time.
Just made the list.
It's not Mike Carey because that didn't work out.
No, what's the guy's name? Good grief.
That didn't work out very well.
I'll look it up.
615-737-1025. Max, do you have one? Do you have any body or something you want to put on the list? Or no? No pressure.
I'll put Major League Baseball on my list just because I'm mad that the Arizona Fall League isn't on TV or even online streaming. Because I think if they really beef this up, this is the postseason minor league all-stars in Arizona. They put the teams up, three or four MLB teams make one team, and they send their top four prospects. I think if they beefed it up the right way, it could be the MLB version of NBA Summer League, but it gets no publicity, and I would watch all these games. So
okay. I saw that tweet last night. True.
Okay.
So I'll put them on my list.
You just made the list!
Gene Steratore is the referee.
There you go.
They play a role. Steratore is going to be in the middle of all these games. Same thing. ESPN's got their guy. And, of course, Mike Pereira has made the role famous.
He was basically the
last
godfather.
Last night he was like,
right?
Hey, that's clear and obvious.
Yep.
Because that's the kind of play I think should be overturned.
Adam, Charlie, Curtis, Courtney, all of you, we'll get to your phone calls on the other side. Loaded lines. Who or what is on your list? Black Keys tickets, Tuesday night at Bridgestone Arena on the line. But you're going to have to get in there and participate. We'll come back with your calls next. I told you a big RFA signing, and it affects the Predators division. We talked about it earlier on the show, and we also saw where Darren Dreger and others were tweeting out, talks are heating up. Well, they're heating up. They're red hot. They're blazing because they're done. Patrick Laine has signed a bridge deal with the Jets.
Can we first ask the question to Max?
2 years.
What was that the breaking news?
What in the world was that?
That was not what I thought that song would be.
Was that
I was thinking Patrick Laine, blurred lines, long contract, and that was apparently, it's in here as the 8-bit version of Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
I thought that was like the video game music because Patrick Laine likes to play video games.
Yeah, we can
on
go
the road.
We can go with that.
He never
sure.
leaves the hotel room, and the guys kind of give him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking when I chose the wrong song.
So what was it? It's worth $14.8 million. Is that correct?
$13.5 million.
I'm looking at cap friendly. Okay, am I looking at something wrong here?
Well, they staggered it. The second year is bigger than the first year, so. 13.5 total, average cap hit.
Oh, that's
6.75.
Okay, that leaves them with caps. I'm sorry, 14.8 cap space. Okay.
So the second year, I think, is at 7.5, so that he will be qualified at that number when he's restricted. So that's the trick. That's what everybody has done to unlock the shake up the gridlock. With these bridge deals is they stagger it so at the end, the last year is a bigger number. So when they are a restricted free agent and the team gives them a qualifying offer at 10%, that they're going to get a much higher number than the average cap hit. And at the same time, the team gets to keep the cap hit down a little bit lower. So that leaves Kyle Connor for the Jets. I would imagine they'll get him done. There's optimism that now that Lonnie has signed, it might fall into place for Connor, but I think they're looking at a 6 or 7 year deal for him.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because Cap Friendly says they've got $14.8 million left in cap space, and that's not counting Bifugans, or he also goes by Dustin Byfuglien, $7.6 mil against the cap. So right now he's on suspension without pay. So if Dustin comes back in the fold, that cuts that number in half. And you've still got to get Connor signed. I mean, they're right up against it.
Well, and I think the Bufflin thing is still a big unknown. But I think,
but if they sign Line A and Connor, don't you think he's coming back for another year?
I don't know if it affects it one way or the other. But
you don't think if they lost those guys that would affect his decision?
I don't think it's about the other rest of the team. I think it's all about Bufflin is what I'm hearing. Whether he feels like he wants to engage and be in there. I don't think it has to do with the team. But at least that's what I'm hearing. I who knows? Because he hasn't really spoken. But it's just a desire. Does he have the desire to go through the grind at this stage of his career? Also noteworthy, Line A has been, I think, hanging out and training in Switzerland. And one of the people training with him is Mikko Rantanen. This is a related note. The other key restricted free agent is not signed, but there is a lot of optimism that he is on the verge of signing. And it's been reported that he will be on the same plane with Line A flying back to the States, which gives you a reason to believe that they're close enough on a deal that they think it's imminent. So that's probably good news for the Avalanche. So big news in the Central Division that affects the Predators, right? Line A has signed. That probably could shake free, issues they're having with Connor, their other key unsigned player, big forward weapon. And now Rantanen could get signed as well. So there's a chance on opening night that other than Dustin Bufflin, who's in a separate category, all of the RFAs will be inked and ready to go. Now, they missed all training camp, so we'll see how quick they get acclimated, but at least they've got him in there.
Surprised about Line A? 2 years?
No. Everybody's been talking about that type of deal. I think he wanted a lot more money than that.
I'm surprised by 2 years and the money, quite honestly. I'm surprised on both fronts.
Just because but it goes back to the uniqueness of him. Unbelievably tough goal scorer. Unbelievably good. Rest of the game.
Okay, is this them saying, you got 2 years to figure out the rest of your game, prove you're two-way player, both ends of the ice, and then we'll give you the big money you're seeking and first-line play?
Probably.
Maybe is that what they're thinking?
I think there's probably a lot to that. I think they've just probably discussed everything.
So Connor will get
about
done.
Right?
So gut feeling on Bufflin. What do you think? Is he going to be in the
mix?
That's
a hard one. I don't think he'll be there opening night.
But do you think he plays the season?
Yes. If I had to guess, I think he'll recharge the batteries, and at some point it'll hit him that he wants to play. But I have no idea whether that's the case or not. I think there's a little bit of Andrew Luck. He's had injuries. He's had concussions. He's had some severe ankle issues.
Well, he's getting up there a little bit in age, too.
Yes. He's played a lot longer than Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
But the desire and, hey, do I want to work so hard, go through the pain, all of that stuff? I think there's a little bit of that Andrew Luck part to the Bufflin saga. So it's a question of, can he self-motivate and want to be all in, right? If he can't be all in, maybe he's better off being away from the team. I think that's where he is right now.
So there you go. Patrick Line, a two-year deal, $13.5 million for the Jets. We'll come back, kick off the final hour with Pick 6. That's next.